Will you bow your heads? We're going to start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, on this Easter Sunday, this Sunday of all Sundays, where your church is scattered, but your word is still being soaked in and is still edifying and building up your church, I pray this time that we have together to reflect on the hope that we have of the risen Christ would fill the hearts and minds and lives of all those that have an opportunity to watch and reflect on this service that we're putting together, all to your glory. Bless the words that I'm about to share and the meditation of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the very first Easter resurrection story that we get to hear about is recorded in Matthew. And interestingly enough, an angel speaks to two women, both of the name of Mary. And these women are traveling through a place much like where I'm standing right now, a place where people are laid to rest after taking that last breath, closing their eyes in death. And for Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they were on their way to go prepare the body of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. They were going to wrap it in ointments and just take care of it in a final gesture of respect. And I can't imagine what was going through their minds. I only imagine that they were mixed emotions. All the hope that they had in this man that was going to come and save them. He's no longer here. He's gone. He died. And then they're wandering in the dark towards the tomb, and they don't even know who's going to roll away the stone so that they can help him out. And in their society, being a woman is not the greatest position to be in, because in their society, women were thought of less than, or at least marginalized. Would they encounter a guard or two at the tomb that would harass them? What was going through their minds as they were grieving their friend, the loss of their friend? What was going through their mind when the ground started to shake and an angel stood on top of a rolled away tombstone, looking right at him, saying, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, the one who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen just as he said. Come, see the place where he laid." That conversation to those two women changed everything. Have you ever been through a life situation that, or a day that seems to change everything? For you and for me, Easter changes everything. But I'd like to share a story with you, if I could, about how my pastoral ministry changed after going out for an afternoon run. I was about 22 miles from where I'm standing right now, up in Frankenlust. I vicared up there at St. Paul's. And after my stint in the hospital, as I was working there as a student chaplain, I would need to clear my head after seeing all the things that I had seen and ministering to the people I had ministering to and being at the bedside. I would need to clear my head, and I would go for a run. This one fall afternoon, as I was going out for the run, this time I decided to go down the road that was past the front doors of St. Paul Lutheran. On my right and on my left was a cemetery. And something caught my eye this time. I looked off to the left and I saw a man dressed in a suit, and I realized it was my vicarage supervisor, Pastor Paul Tice. He was out in the cemetery, and I was wondering what was going on, but I didn't think much of it. I kept on my run. About a half hour as I was making my way back home and rounding the last leg back on that same street that I had started on, I looked off this time to my right and I saw that same suited man a little further down the lane of headstones. And this time I felt a little compelled to go see if he was okay. And I wandered through that cemetery and I walked up to him, "Pastor, are you doing all right?" And he looked up with a knowing smile. I think he noticed that I had run a little while past him. And this is where my life changed as a pastor. He proceeded to take me over the course of probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 memorial markers. And he told me the story of each and every single one of those ones that he laid to rest over the course of his 26 years in ministry there. There were some tragic stories, some heartbreak stories, and there was also stories of tremendous faith and in ripe old age. But what happened to me as I was listening to this man speak was just my head was swimming. Here was a man who was called by God to shepherd a particular people through whatever life threw at him, and to give him the hope of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. And he did that. He did that faithfully. Each and every person that he pointed out to me was a real person, a real life, a real soul that God had charged him to care for. You see, that's the burden that we as pastors get to carry. We get to carry the hurts and the heartaches and the joys and the celebrations as we get to do life with one another. That day changed my life. It made it very real. I was going to have the opportunity, should the Lord call me to a church, to be able to shepherd a flock and to point them to the hope of Jesus Christ, the very reason why we are celebrating today, this Easter Sunday. What about you? As I stare into this lens of this camera as we record this service, you inviting me into your home. What about you? Some of you are doing okay. This virus that we're facing, this COVID-19, this coronavirus, we had never even heard of terms like this in November. And then come December and January, and something like this hits a far-off place in China. Now, March, we're being told that we can't go anywhere. We have to shelter in place, and for some, it's just a minor inconvenience, and you wonder, is this real? Some of you are okay. Others of you, though, I know are not. Just in the last couple of days, I've had the opportunity to have phone calls with very real families who are facing this very real virus. And lives are lost and broken here. And we've talked and we've prayed how there's a distance, there's a separation. We can't even go and see the people that we care about because of the restrictions we have on visitations. Your world's been turned upside down. This term, this virus, has changed things for you. I can't imagine, way back when we were getting ready to launch a Connect worship service in the Worship and Events Center, that last weekend of October, where we dedicated that facility, and there were over 1,000 people there, just singing and lifting their voices and giving thanks to God for the work that He had done. Only now, not even 5 months later, that building is empty, and we're wondering when we're going to have the chance to gather again as God's people. But here's the thing that I know. While we are scattered, our Lord is still very much in our midst. He is the risen Lord, and He's the reason why we're here today. Your life may be changed and turned upside down, but He's the hope that we have. And He invites us to walk with Him, to journey with Him, and to know that there's nothing that's going to separate us from His love. You see, the reality is I'm standing in a place where people do go to their eternal rest. I'm standing in a place which is really meant for you and for me at some point in our lives. It may be many, many years down the road, and then again, it may not. Our Lord tells us to number our days and to be thankful for each and every single one of them that we have. There's something you may be going through right now as you've been experiencing, I don't know, I guess I want to call it a different kind of March Madness, where it wasn't about basketball, but it was about things like toilet paper and hand sanitizer and bottled water being precious commodities and things that people would find comfort in, to this idea where you have to stay 6 feet apart from one another, to now sheltering in place and not going anywhere unless it's absolutely essential, to watching healthcare workers and medical staff going into a battle to fight an unknown enemy that seems to have the world captive. This virus and all that, the things that you've been going through, and on this Easter Sunday as we hold on and cling to and cry out to God, our living hope, this God, the one that's promised that there's nothing that's going to ever separate us from His love. He wants to tell us today that He knows, and He's promised to walk with us every step of the way. There was an Old Testament lesson that was read a little while ago, and if you'd bear with me, I'm going to call that lesson up. It was from Jeremiah chapter 31, and it was right in the last part of verse 13. It goes like this. It says, "Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow." That thing that I was talking about that you might be experiencing is something called grief. And grief is something that we all have to journey through. We can't sidestep it. We can't deny it. We can't ignore it. We have to journey through it. But we do not journey alone. That's why we have hope. Because what began for our Lord is a journey towards the cross and ultimately Him giving up His life, that wasn't the end of the story. You see, that day, as He laid His life down, He had a mission to fulfill. And that was to do away with the one thing that holds each and every single one of us captive from the time we fell into sin with Adam and Eve, an unseen enemy whose symptoms show in our behavior, in our words, in our thoughts, and in our actions, that show that we are far from our Lord and ultimately separate us from Him. That thing called sin, which lands us in a place like this. That's not the end of the story. You see, we can grieve, that we grieve as those that have hope. And just to share some other words with you from 1 Thessalonians, "I do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, and I can say sisters, about those that are asleep, that you might not grieve as others who do not have hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep." And then we have this promise from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "Then comes the end, when He, namely Jesus, delivers the kingdom of God to the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power, for He must reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death." I'm standing in a place where there has been many tears shed, many memories reflected upon, many questions asked. And for many, as they walk away from the somber and humble ground and silence. But the reality is death has been silenced. This is not the end of our story. COVID-19 is not the end of our story. Sin is not the end of our story. Life and hope, eternal life, because of what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us. He saw it through to the very end. He went to hell and back. He fought the fight. He fought a battle that you and I couldn't fight, and He conquered it, and He gave us that victory. And He says the last enemy to be destroyed is death, and we have that victory. Death cannot hold us. Sure, it can look like it's the end of all things here, but this is really just the beginning for us. where we get to hold on to the promise of eternal life. It's here where we get to recognize that God knows the souls and the lives of every person that's laying to rest here, and that will come down the future and be laid to rest here. He knows. He knows us. We're His children. And He wanted to make sure that there was nothing that was going to separate us from Him. And that's why we, the Christian people, have hope. And we get to go out and proclaim that hope to a world that desperately needs to hear it. Trust in Him. Go to Him with your cares. Go to Him with your concerns. That's what we get to do as people of God. We get to cry out to Him, why and how long, Lord? And do You see us, Lord? Knowing, yes, He does, that He's our perfect Father. And then, like those women who were walking toward the tomb, not sure what they were going to find, as we walk with our Lord, we hear Him say, do not be afraid. This will not be the end of your story. There will be a time when I welcome you to my side, and you'll hear these words, well done, good and faithful servant, well done. My brothers and sisters in Christ, this is why we have Easter, so that we can have hope, a hope that surpasses everything that the world can throw at us. It's a hope that we hold into our hearts. It started with two marginalized women and spread to the disciples and then to Jerusalem and then to Samaria and then to the ends of the earth. And it's gone over these last almost 2,000 years till it reaches you, my brother and sister in Christ, where you're anchored in faith through the waters of holy baptism. And you know beyond a shadow of doubt that you were you were crucified in your baptism, only raised to new life in Christ. You do not need to doubt the Lord. He is walking with you every step of the way. We have a reason to have hope. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Amen.